For coming out. Sorry, we're a little late getting things going here. Really are hoping it's not a lecture. That sort of wasn't the intention. We have some panelists that I'm really excited are participating, and I'm really excited to hear what they have to say about the issue, but I'm also excited to hear what everyone here has to say about the issue that we're here to discuss. So this panel was presented as building a united progressive movement. It was also mentioned, I think, in the call-out that that's a pretty tall order. So I think that we have very very realistic expectations about what we can actually do this evening. But, you know, to start a conversation, and I mean, this conversation happens in other places, obviously at other times, but maybe not as much as it needs to. So the idea of, you know, a united progressive movement, just a few basic ideas. Why have a talk like this right now? I think we've all encountered, over the last year in particular, an acceleration of a process that's really been happening, from all the sort of data, for about 30 years in Canada in particular. We've seen a steady erosion of things that, you know, our parents, previous generations and whatnot, fought very, very hard for. We've seen an erosion of a democracy. We've seen an erosion of a sense of public good and public guardianship, whether it be healthcare, education, whether it be social security, all of these different institutions we've seen a steady attack on. And this attack affects all of us. You know, so what's happened over the years is obviously different movements have been focused on their own issues, which is incredibly important. I mean, there was a reason why an environmental movement had to happen. Why a women's movement had to happen, why a queer movement had to happen, very good reasons historically, why individual communities needed to organize around their own issues, understood, very important. However, I think what we're seeing increasingly is a climate where this sustained assault is affecting all of these communities, and yet we're having a hard time being as effective in coordinated action and in really moving beyond that atomization that occurred, that seeking of autonomy between different movements, and then learning to come together again in a way that is powerful. As I sort of say in the, I think I might have put this in the call out, learning to organize around the 80% that unites us, whether we're someone fighting for workers' rights, or student rights, or women's rights, or queer rights, or First Nations rights, or the rights of the immigrant community, the rights of the Muslim population in Canada that's being targeted with security certificates and no-fly lists. I mean, all of these issues really come back to a core set of conflicts in our society between oligarchic control and between a real social democracy or democratic socialism, whatever you want to call it, a real society with a real public good. And so what I'm hoping tonight that the different panelists can talk to, obviously a very big issue, and that we can all talk to, is first of all, you know, maybe some people think we don't need a united progressive movement, that's fine. But maybe we can talk about this whole idea of, you know, what is this thing? Do we need it? What are the challenges in creating a united progressive movement? What could it look like? How can we move beyond some of the models that are out there, these sort of really convenient coalitions that maybe last for one or two issues? You know, how do we move beyond these sorts of issues, these sorts of ways of organizing to real relationships, you know, to really understanding commonality, to really listening to the different movement organizations and building a real commonality, not a false commonality, not a hierarchical sort of, hey, you all come under our umbrella and our banner, we'll hook you up. But how do we learn to sort of march together, organize together in a way that makes us all stronger, but that each very important organization and perspective is also appreciated for their own unique vision, unique contribution. It's a tall order. I mean, it's something that's happening globally in terms of the World Social Forum. Okay, there's organizing happening around these issues all over the world. It's sometimes been described as one no and many yeses. This whole idea of sort of the global justice movement. You know, that a lot of people seem to know what we don't want, the neoliberal system that's falling apart all around us, the people that are being put out of work, the environment that's being destroyed, Canada becoming the global laughingstock in terms of climate change. Heavy issues. How do we learn to organize around them? That's the topic tonight. And so what I want to do is I'm going to pass off the mic to seven different panelists. We have some amazing panelists here. We have Inez Rios from the St. Joseph's Immigrant Women's Center. Incredible activist, started up an incredible organization. Tireless, an activist in Chile originally. A lot of incredible experience. Maria Follansby, who has been doing a lot of amazing work around the community, around student issues, environmental issues, you name it, direct democracy, all sorts of incredible stuff. Member of the Students for Renegade Society at McMaster. Dr. Sandra Preston from the School of Social Work at McMaster, doing a lot of great organizing in a number of different communities, the women's community, and other groups. Lindy Lukasik, the woman who sued the pants off the city, took the proceeds and created, along with Don McLean and I think it was Brian McCaddy too, Environment Hamilton. So an incredible local organization doing really, really good work. We also have Rolf Gerstenberger here, president of Steelworkers Local 1005, fresh from a May Day march, and grappling head on with some of the most intense issues right now as we see the manufacturing sector being completely gutted in Canada and locally. And the final panelist is Deirdre Dixon, who was a co-founder of the Well LGBTQ Wellness Center, a former executive director of that organization, and a woman who's involved in a lot of amazing activism as well. So,
you were involved in the founding of it, no?
No,
I'm actually the current director.
Well, you're the current executive, okay. Sorry, getting my information mixed up. And, of course, I'm Kevin. I think most people know who I am. So welcome, everyone. And again, the speakers were asking, we wanted just to sort of five-minute takes. What's their perspective on this issue? A United Progressive Movement. What could it look like? What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? And then we want to open it up. We want it to be Q&A and dialogue about this. Maggie Hughes, we're really happy that she's here. Maggie, of course, a citizen journalist who's done a lot of amazing work covering activist issues and events. So this is all going to be recorded. It will not just end here. It'll be transcribed, it'll be disseminated, and hopefully it'll be the start of more conversations about how do we come together as activists and as progressives in Hamilton. So at this point, I would like to call up Inez Rios. Thank you, Inez. I think she needs a round of applause. We forgot to tell everyone to bring some furniture with them. Usually it's a canned good.
I have a few notes that I put together, but to start, before I even go through my notes, I'd like to say that, Kevin, when you spoke about Canada, the way you perceive it now, eroding all the rights and many of them, and I'm beginning to feel that is the moment, perhaps, to build a united progressive movement. I can tell you that it hit me because my background in political activism back home in Chile, 30 plus years ago, it was a moment when we did not have anything to lose. And we united. And the political party that needed to put together that political coalition, decided to work out the differences and put together the United Popular Movement at that time and elect the president. And the rest is history, you know, all of it. But it was such an exciting time that I will never be able to replace that feeling with anything that happens over here. But when you said that, or we feel, begin to feel as Canadians, that the system is eroding and the rights that we had are no longer, and the democracy is also eroding, I said, well, don't wait until we have nothing to lose, and then we will unite. Because that will be perhaps a moment of too late. Or perhaps too late to recover, right? So I'll go into a little bit of my notes. And first, I want to tell you that in this conversation, I feel that I am a member and also a beneficiary of many different movements. Because I am a woman, I am an immigrant, I am a feminist, I am a parent, I am an activist, I am also an administrator of an organization, a women's organization. I have a personal and professional interest in the different movements represented in this panel. Memberships in all of these movements are very diverse, and none of us can truly represent an entire community or entire movement. And therefore, I am not here to represent an immigrant women movement or even an immigrant movement. Because if we think about it, not all immigrants are progressive, not all immigrants are poor, not all immigrants face the same barriers, and not all immigrants identify as being part or wanting to be part of any collective movement. Some may come from a sad or very extreme political involvement or being victims, therefore they rather seek protection and remain in their primary, in trying to preserve their primary needs and their children. But to make a sense of an abstract diverse movement, you know, I have to think about, I can put myself as and think about individuals. And to take it even a step further, I to think about the people and the women that I work with. As an immigrant women center, we are part of many different movements. You know, we are in the women's movement. We are in the anti-poverty movement because we are escaping, trying to escape poverty. We are in many ways in the labor movement because we fight for fair, safe, sustainable employment. And of course, as a movement towards inclusion, and participation of immigrants. So organizations have multiple identities and dealing with poverty and dealing with factory emissions, if you are if we live in a low-income neighborhood, in dealing with unfair labor practices, if we are in survival jobs. So there are a multitude of other issues that intersect in everyday life. Maybe we feel more aligned with environmental activities. For example, if a group of new immigrants from Vietnam, they are concerned about the food consumption and their food safety, we'd be more identified with a community garden than with other political or other social movements. It's in trying to unite ourselves. You know, we can resolve some of this in trying to understand all these multiple barriers and constraints. We can also try to look for common interests and at the same time see how much of us can give we can give away in order to reach some of commonalities aside from, in this case, the immigrant status. In a practical level, we can increase collaboration, but all of it, and in all the diverse groups, sometimes you find it very unrealistic because to unite, it will require to spend energy, resources, time, and to work out those differences. Because it's easier and faster to work in isolation. So, you know, the different interest group is easier and faster to work in isolation. So we perhaps have to work towards being less rigid. And with that, my reflection is, for example, as a feminist, my concept of being a feminist might be different than of the other local organizations. But so how much it will take and what it will take to negotiate those differences and reach some kind of agreement. There is no question that we have to make sacrifices, like being, you know, spending the time. All of us are here tonight, and it's Friday night. So that requires that many more. We need many more, right, to be in this united movement. And but I'm happy to be here because this is a good start. I can also feel that as a member of the poverty roundtable in the city, I have not been able to do much. Those movements are no question. You know, they call themselves, we call ourselves to be moving towards the alleviation of poverty. But because we work so closely and tied up with the system, right, with the Canadian system, we get lost in that. There are so many personal interests that, you know, to offend anybody that is, you know, at that table is just suicidal. So it's been extremely frustrating to me to think of how we could create a real movement. And it's been in my mind for quite some time. And I think it was after the reaction to the budget that we are not united in a movement to react and protect. In this case, it was, you know, the last budget, the last federal budget was ignore so much of the needs and the rights of women. And it was so frustrating and broken. I was definitely very frustrated. Therefore, I thought that I, you know, to unite in a women's movement, to a coalition of women, not only immigrants in the city, even locally, to me was just very, very practical. Let's do something local so we can react to our local issues and just do at least something. Thank you very much. This, I took a little longer.
Thanks so much, Vanessa.